All right. Gosh, I really appreciate the chance to be here. It's exciting for me to be back in Stillwater, kind of some old stomping grounds from a long time ago. A couple of quick comments. Boy, I really appreciate all the data that's been presented today. I love to look at data. I really appreciate the research crowd that does that sort of work, the world of academics. Grad school wasn't all that long ago that I can't remember how hard it is to do that. Collect data, summarize data, analyze data, write reports. I'm glad you guys do it and I don't. I think my family, we're consumers of research. We're not researchers, we're consumers of research. And I think that's a pretty good position to be in today. So what I hope I kind of get across here is just some ideas from a grassroots cow-calf operation that has evolved over the last 25 years into a registered Angus seed stock operation, and kind of what we do to help manage reproduction. Get on the right ones. Reproductive management for profit could be a title of this talk as well. Just a shot of the front of our sale facility. We are a family-owned and family-operated seed stock facility, a seed stock operation in southeastern Oklahoma near Poteau. My brother and my dad and I kind of make the decisions on what we're going to do. Obviously, I don't live there. I'm not there day-to-day basis, so my brother and my dad are pretty good at getting things done. Well, very good at getting things done. We're not new to AI. While I was still a student at Oklahoma State University, we started AI in commercial cows. We used a two-shot prostaglandin program. Those two shots were 11 days apart. And compared to what we have available to use today, it wasn't very good. But it was the way we entered into AI. I feel like we're really dedicated to genetic improvement of cattle. And that's our goal as to what we want to do with our cow herd. But we can't improve genetics without getting cattle pregnant. And I think it has to kind of start there. Sale day is very important to us. What we get gathered up, what we get produced, what we get developed and get ready for that day is really what pays the bills for the rest of the year. So having a good one is very important. And those of you in the crowd that have sales, you know what I'm talking about. We've got to be organized from the get-go to be ready for that. We really concentrate on bulls. We do sell some females, but every opportunity that we miss to get a bull in that sale ring is pretty expensive. So we have to be organized, and it starts with reproduction. That's actually my dad sitting right there in the middle. That's why I still kind of use that slide a lot. I'll get the next still up here. I used to say that straw of semen is our delivery mechanism. That's how we get new genetics, fresh genetics, proven genetics into our operation. But in recent years, I've come to believe that's not quite the case. I think that frozen straw of semen is a storage package. That's where we put frozen sperm cells, and we've got them all neatly tucked away until we're ready to thaw them out and use them. We've really come to believe that synchronization is a delivery system for genetic improvement. That's what allows us to get cows pregnant. The straw of semen is almost an afterthought. We spend a lot of time discussing data, scheduling, implementation, of whatever synchronization protocol we're going to use, and we've used them all. We certainly probably spend more time on the 7-day co-sync protocol than any others. We've used the 14-day one on heifers a fair amount, and we've used the 5-day some. How do we get more cows bred early? And that kind of becomes our benchmark for success. Why do we want a calving season? If we're a commercial operator, and I'm going to have to make some comments about the commercial industry here. I do spend a fair amount of time there. But I think early on is uniform age and weight at marketing. Calves born in the first 50 days of your calving season from a commercial standpoint really generate the lion's share of your profit potential. So how many cows can you get to calve early? And that'll kind of be the crux of the rest of my presentation there. It's also become apparent to me just in recent years, this is an added thought to that efficiency of a herd health plan. You know, if you like to We're sure work with some customers that like to have kind of a ranch branding and have plenty of help there and get it done fast and efficiently. But if your calving season's pretty strung out, it is difficult to administer the proper herd health immunization shots to calves if they're really scattered out over a wide range of age. So I think calving season management is really a precursor to good herd health management. From a seed stock standpoint, I believe in this. I like tight to contemporary groups that are born very close together. That really gives us a good chance to evaluate those cattle in a contemporary group. I know we can put all kinds of age adjustments and age of dam adjustments, and certainly when we turn our data into the American Angus Association, those adjustments get made. But the tighter that contemporary group is in terms of range of days of age, the better that data is. And AI-sired progeny born early just flat have the most value to us. Back in grad school days, one of my colleagues and I, that's now actually with Texas A&M Extension Service, we see each other pretty frequently, we had this discussion. We could only come up with two reasons to actually choose a calving season. Number one, it should give you a marketing advantage. And if it's not the marketing advantage you're after, then it should give you a management advantage. And I think the management advantage is to match your production to what your ranch has to offer you. And that really follows some of Dr. Lallman's comments earlier. Do the cattle fit your environment? So two reasons there to choose a calving season. Once you've chosen when you need to calve, how do you manage that calving season? Now, in our operation, I look back at some of our sale results. We had our first sale in spring of 2003. So this next spring will be our 12th or 13th sale. In the early days, the AI-sired bulls were worth about $500 more than our cleanup-sired bulls. Well, that sure made us want to have more of them. But in the last couple of years, that gap has widened. And if I actually got a calculator on it, it'd be a little bit more than that. It'd be a little bit more than that. Jimmy just had a sale the other day. You might could tell me the exact number. You're enough of a data guy, I bet you can. It certainly is a huge incentive for us to get cows bred early to an AI service. So how do we get that done? We also sell females. Typically, we sell some fall pairs in that spring sale and split the heifer calves off that day. And the AI-sired heifer calves, they're just about worth $1,000 more than the cleanup-sired heifer calves. Now, we don't sell a lot of $10,000 show heifers. And in fact, we have to sell about three or four of our heifers to get to $10,000 sometimes. But that $800 difference, that's pretty important to us. So again, how do we get more of them bred early? A couple of comments I want to make. A lot of the talks today have been on heifer AI, and sure, that's maybe a simpler thing to approach, particularly if you're just beginning in AI, not having to deal with calves. A lot of times heifers are a little more accessible if the cows are out on some range where they're not quite as easy to get to. But I'll talk a little bit about sorting calves off and a little bit about what we've come to believe in timed AI and why we believe in it. A couple of pictures here taken. This is a little set of pens by my grandmother's house that we can put about, it's pretty tight, but we can get about 50 pairs in here to synchronize an AI. And you can kind of see some cows staged there. We kind of stage them in four or five down an alley, and here's some girls here coming on around. And if you kind of look out in the back, there's a calf or two there. If you can kind of look out back, there's a calf or two or three back there. These cows kind of get used to this process, and these typically at this facility be some of our older cows, so they've been through this routine a time or two. And when we start to bring them up to put seeders in or pull seeders out or to get ready to time to inseminate, we've always got to sort those calves off. The cows will kind of strike out where they need to go, and if you're really paying attention, we can typically leave about a third of our calves out in the pasture. They never even come into the corrals. You can kind of cut in front of them, weed them back. Then those cows kind of go, it's almost a bud box design. This middle pen here is 24 feet wide, so there's two 12-foot gates. If they swing together, you can chain them together in the middle. they all go to the back, and the cows want to come back out. So typically, my 75-year-old dad sits on one of those gates in the middle, and as the calf comes through, he'll just step out, move the gate a little bit, and catch the calf and back in. So we'll end up with a third of her calves out there, a third of her calves in this middle pen, and another third will be left in the back pen that just never went anywhere. The calf sorting really has just become pretty dang simple for us. I want to back up here and make a couple more comments on timed AI. Obviously, you can see, wrong pointer. Obviously, you can see we got a cow in heat. She's standing to take her ride. How many AI schools have myself and others of like me involved in the industry have taught? Standing to take her ride, yep, that girl's in heat. We do a lot of tailhead painting, and if this room was a little darker, that might be a little easier to see. Maybe it's easier on this slide. But that girl is missing a fair amount of tail paint on her, on that tail head. It's obvious when she comes down the chute that she has taken quite a number of rides. Whether we actually saw her do that or not, it's kind of immaterial. And we kept quite a bit of information on that for several years when we first started timed AI-ing. And initially I thought that maybe about 75% of those cows would show some form of standing estrus. But after my brother kept up with that number for a few years, though, that number's more like 65% to us. It's about two-thirds of them will be fairly obvious they have taken a number of rides based on how their tail heads look. So, therein, the first year we did this, here come a little dilemma that happened. My brother and I realized that we didn't have our dad as convinced on this timed AI thing as we thought we had him. And when he realized, man, some of these, there's one on the next slide, I believe. That tail head right there has never been touched. And this tail head has no paint left on it. When my dad realized not all these girls have been taking rides, he started balking on this timed AI thing. So we kind of did it anyway. Up until we started timed AI, and we sure used some Gomer bulls. And dad still wasn't satisfied with our breeding them and giving them a shot of GNRH and calling it good. And the next morning, what did my dad do? He turned a Gomer bull out with that set of cows. And he heat detected for 2 days. You know how many cows he found in heat? None. Okay. That GNRH shot at the timing of AI is effective in causing an ovulation. I was actually thrilled he did it because I didn't have to argue with him anymore. He's not very easy to argue with. So he got convinced. Now, our own little in-house data keeping system, which is my brother, he's kind of an Excel spreadsheet nut, and he likes to write stuff down and look at it. Certainly not always the most scientific thing in the world, but if we look at these two girls here, we'll be about 10 to 15% higher on our conception rate or pregnancy rate to that timed AI on these girls here than we will on these that didn't show any sign of heat at all. And that's just pretty predictable for us. Pretty predictable for us. Still sure going to breed them. Don't miss the chance. That's one reason, one way for, if you don't breed them, you're sure not going to get them pregnant. So we know, and what I've come to kind of believe and tell customers that any of these protocols that involve GNRH, we're really kind of synchronizing ovulation. We're really not synchronizing heat. I'm not heat detecting. Most of us don't anymore. It's ovulation is what we're synchronizing, so we need to breed them. All right, I think that was my comments there. Oh, if you're giving a talk on AI, you've got to have an obligatory picture of somebody actually breeding a cow. So there's my brother breeding a cow. We all seem to be pretty good at that. Another little set of facilities. None of our facilities are very extravagant. We built them all ourselves. Some of the designs will tell you that we built them ourselves, and I wish I could tear a thing or two out and do it over, but we're not going to do that. And I might back up on this here where we can see some cows staged. And good cattle handling skills are so important at this point. I don't like to put 20 cows in an alley there and let them all jam up in the back of the alley. And somebody's got to be getting a little upset. I don't like to be in a room and having 20 people leaning on me. Why would the cows like that? So we kind of stage them in groups of four or five where they're not crammed up. Handle them gentle, handle them easily. There's a number of people out there today teaching cattle handling, good cattle handling practices, good stockmanship skills. And if you have a desire to be better at that, then Google those things and find a school to go to. They're all very good. I've been involved with a number of them. Okay. Cut on through that. A little bit more of a commercial-minded talk. If we've got, need to keep a fairly large number of heifers in a commercial situation, over the last couple of 3 years, I've become a bigger and bigger fan. Boy, really, maybe keeping a few more of them than you need, shortening the time that they're exposed to bulls, and seeing what percentage of them we can get pregnant up early. These are the girls that's got the best chance of staying in your herd long term and getting back past those difficult 2-year-old and 3-year-old times. It's okay to me today to have 15% opens in heifers. I suspicion that 5 to 8% of heifers in any group of if we've got 100 commercial heifers, some percentage of those just aren't going to breed no matter what you do to them. Another percentage of them are kind of slow to breed. Well, yeah, man, the old adage, if I leave that bull out a couple more months, I'll get a few more of them bred. Well, sure you will. But what did you just do to yourself? Now you have a bunch of late calving 2-year-olds that are difficult to manage. Difficult to manage. I think you can have a 90% plus pregnancy rate very consistently in young cows, but you got to put pressure on the yearlings to perform. It has to start there. And today, it's way better to cull a yearling at today's market values than it is to lose a late calving 2-year-old or 3-year-old. Far better. Some recommendations for synchronization. Most of this has kind of been touched on in one form or another today, but really from kind of a layman's viewpoint, follow the rules. There's a lot of data out there. There's quite a large number of protocols that are approved by the Beef Reproduction Task Force. They work well. Pick the one that fits you the best. Don't try to outthink them. And I think just like thawing semen, it's just part of the routine. This is how we thaw semen. This is how we do it right. Compliance and administering a synchronization protocol, it's just how we do it. Do it right, and they won't fail you. Again, much of this has been discussed today. I think the biggest issue I see with synchronization protocols failing is they just weren't administered wrong. And I can come up with quite a number of stories. You guys all know what I'm talking about. And some of these cannot be fixed. It just can't be fixed. You give the wrong dosage of the wrong product at the wrong time, it's like, man, no way. No way to repair the damage. Now, the one I will mention is talking about timing on cedar removal. Those can be fixed. Sometimes it's not real fun, but they can be fixed. I had a customer call me a couple of years ago that got off track on the 7-day co-sink cedar protocol on heifers, 54 plus or minus 2 hours after we pulled that cedar we're supposed to breed. He pulled the cedar late in the afternoon. And the next day he calls me and goes, I got to add this up and we're going to have to breed between 11 p.m. and 2 a.m. He said, can't we just wait till the next morning? No, was the answer. I mean, you push the start button when you pulled that cedar and gave that shot of prostaglandin. So I'll be there to help you. And we had a pot of coffee going and we bred heifers at midnight and it was all fine. But you have to follow the rules. So be sure you've got that planned. Certainly I see some cows that folks, that their calving seasons are a little long and they're wanting to condense it. And I very much appreciate folks' attitudes to be better managers. But sometimes it takes a little while to get there. You may have to work on a set of cows for 2 or 3 or 4 years to get them to where you can synchronize all of them. Many times it's the cull some cows that are just late calvers, no matter what you do, and replace them with heifers that are bred to calve early is the way to get there quicker. But if the postpartum interval is too short, and if she calved last week, there's not a lot of value in trying to synchronize her. Cows in poor body condition. Heifers, I run into this one too much, and all you guys out there that breed heifers in the industry, I know you do too. It's a pretty disappointing sight to pull up to a place to breed some heifers, and first thing you see is about that much of a placenta hanging out of a vulve of a heifer. And my first thought then is, how many more of those are there? You know, of course, the producer many times will say, oh, there's never been a bull in there. Yeah, there has. I mean, that's how that got there. I think that's how that works. I had to get 2 college degrees to learn that, Jimmy, but that's how that works. Yeah. And the other thing is, this has been mentioned 2 or 3 times, you know, not everybody can just sit there and hammer out 100 heifers in a row. My hat's off to the guys who can. If you're want to bail into a timed insemination protocol, let's be sure you know where your skill level is. And don't overdo it. There's too much good help out there that you can get to be sure that this is not an issue. Just a quick, I mean, what amazing times we are in the industry. I kind of just pulled this. I believe I got this stuff last night off of Iowa Beef Center, where I plugged in some data there. I think that's where it came from anyway. But a $5,000 bull, $95 cost per pregnancy. A $7,000 bull, that kind of jumps up to $130 per pregnancy. Of course, you can change the salvage value and how many calves you get and how many years you think you get out of a bull. And those numbers will change a little bit. AI cost kind of sets in there at that $95, and that's by putting a value on our time that it takes to run cattle through the chute 3 times. You know, some folks working on the ranch is just what they do and don't care to assign that value. If you don't put that on there, this number will drop down to about $75. 3 large recent bull sales here locally, the average is high. That's got to be over $150. I didn't take the time to figure that out. But a significant cost per pregnancy natural service these days. The value, but there's also a value to reproductive management. Yeah, it costs to buy a seeder and buy GnRH, buy a prostaglandin, but there's a value there as well. And some recent economic data shows that improved reproductive performance of those cows, increased calf weight because the calves are born a little earlier on average, decreased natural service needs. The gain per cow exposed to timed AI can be $100 a cow. That's a pretty good economic incentive to jump into an AI program, or at least to seriously consider that. Take-home message. Can you get half of your females pregnant on day 1? Sure you can. Now, you got to have some background work done. You've got to be pretty good with herd health and nutrition, a relatively tight calving season already in place. But that can be a goal. If you're not there yet, you can get there. That can be a goal to get to. Can you reduce the number of natural service sires you need? Sure you can. Is synchronization and timed AI a financially responsible thing to do on the ranch? Man, there's no doubt, no time in our history has it been a better project to consider doing. And I believe in it strongly. I've always believed in the reproduction value of synchronization, but boy, the current economic value of it is just exploded in the last 2 or 3 years. Without it, we wouldn't be in the seed stock business. We wouldn't get enough cows pregnant AI if we had to go back to the old 2-shot prostaglandin program 11 days apart and then heat detect for a week and hope we could get enough of them in heat to make a difference. It just isn't a functional thing to do today. And lastly, there's a shot of some bred heifers there at the right behind Mom and Dad's house. That picture's actually pretty old now, but I still like it and use it pretty frequently. So I've been thrilled to be here. I hope I've touched on a few things that made sense to you. And I hope you feel like your time has been worthwhile here listening. Thank you very much.